KBOO Morning News, an hour of news in 30 minutes.
Good morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Friday, September 22nd, 2006. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Martha Odom. Coming up on this morning's newscast, a recent study shows that less than 20% of jobs in Oregon can support a family. CIA interrogators' refusal to operate secret detention centers forced the Bush administration to close them earlier than expected. And Pakistan's president says the United States threatened to bomb his country after September 11th if he did not cooperate with the attacks on Afghanistan.
Today's Portland area weather, partly sunny with patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny. Highs around 70, lows around 45. An independent task force convened by the Migration Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., has come up with some recommendations. The group, called the Independent Task Force on Immigration and America's Future, spent the past year evaluating factors that drive legal and undocumented immigration into the United States. The task force, a bipartisan panel of policy experts, business leaders, public officials, and some members of Congress, said it drew up the recommendations because the current immigration system is outdated and fails to meet the nation's current and future labor market needs. The group delivered its findings to Congress and the White House yesterday. Key recommendations include creating visas for immigrants of all skill levels who have a job offer in the United States, replacing the existing work certification system, limiting the role of state and local police in immigration enforcement, and providing an earned path to citizenship for unauthorized immigrants living in the United States. Both of Oregon's senators declined comment about the panel's recommendation, saying they weren't familiar with the report. The task force's advice to lawmakers comes as two competing immigration bills are on hold. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
To the consternation of federal wildlife officials, Eugene's Water and Electric Utility has changed its mind about building a fish ladder at a dam, arguing that trapping and hauling threatened fish would be cheaper and wouldn't raise safety issues. The Eugene Water and Electric Board is preparing an application for a new federal license to operate the Carmen Smith Hydroelectric Project just below the Mackenzie River headwaters. The Trailbridge Reservoir and Dam are the final links in the project, which consists of three dams and reservoirs, two large water tunnels, and a pair of power plants. In a draft license application to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the agency indicated it had planned a fish ladder for the upstream-bound fish at Trailbridge. But the water utility now says a trap-and-haul approach can protect spring Chinook salmon and bull trout, as well as a ladder, and at a fraction of the cost. At a meeting Wednesday, federal officials said they were not won over. The utility must file its final application in November. It said it feared a ladder would have to go through part of the existing earthen dam, raising safety concerns, although wildlife officials said a ladder could be built alongside rather than through the dam. This from the Eugene Register Guard.
A recent study by the Northwest Federation of Community Organizations found that many people in Oregon are making the minimum wage, $7.50 an hour, but not making ends meet. According to the study, more than half of Oregon jobs can provide a living wage for single workers, but less than 20% of the jobs taken alone can provide for the basic needs of families with at least two children. The study calculates the living wage by taking into account what it costs for basic food, clothing, housing, taxes, health care, and transportation expenses. While the living wage issue is not new, support has gained new momentum as labor, community, and religious groups push for cities and states to enact higher minimum wages and target mega retailers such as Walmart stores. Critics say by making jobs more costly for employers, living wage laws eliminate low-wage jobs. In addition, they say such such laws do most to help young people. But supporters say the study is further evidence that action is needed.
Literature promoting the white nationalist Ku Klux Klan was distributed in Salem this week. A resident in the Candelaria neighborhood found the material Tuesday night at more than 70 locations. An envelope with the letters KKK contained two flyers promoting the Klan's website and an online interview show, in addition to a statement promoting itself as a dynamic Christian organization. The envelopes were placed in a clear plastic bag with a small amount of what appeared to be cat litter to add weight and thrown at random driveways. Pastor Thomas Robb, the director of the KKK's Harrison, Arkansas political arm called the Knights Party, said the group doesn't advocate hatred of other races or violence and is aimed at preserving and expressing pride in its white Christian heritage. Robb, an ordained Baptist minister, said he didn't know who was distributing the information in Salem. People download material from the group's website on their own. Robb said that many groups have operated under the Ku Klux Klan name and committed racist and violent acts. The goal of the kinder, gentler Knights Party, he said, is to reach middle America and work on behalf of white Christians. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
The Oregon State Penitentiary and the Oregon Department of Corrections were fined at nearly $19,000 for hazardous waste violations occurring in 2005. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality issued a penalty in August to the state penitentiary for failing to determine whether waste generated at the prison was hazardous and for accumulating hazardous waste beyond the applicable 180-day limit. The DEQ also issued a small penalty this month to the Department of Corrections, Oregon's Corrections Enterprises operation, which uses inmate labor to perform services at prison facilities. The penalty is for failing to determine whether solid waste at the facility's furniture shop and laundry maintenance room was hazardous for treating paint solvent in open containers and for crushing fluorescent tubes and disposing of them as solid waste, which is illegal.
Scientists are scrambling to document what appears to be the most widespread fish kill to date in Hood Canal. Researchers say the deep and poorly flushed waterway suffers from oxygen levels at their lowest ebb in at least five decades. Pollution from septic tanks and possibly other sources is strongly suspected of aggravating the problem. Reports from area residents started early Tuesday of dead shrimp, Dungeness crab, lingcod, flounder, sand lance, and other fish. The kill stretches about 6 miles along the great bend of the 60-mile-long Glacier Carve Fjord. Low oxygen water in the bottom of the canal quickly surged up to overtake fish between midnight and 6 a.m. Tuesday. Scientists were able to measure it because of a major new scientific investigation started after fish kills in 2002, 3 and 2004. The magnitude of this kill appears similar to that of the 2003 event, the largest known to date, and this one covers more of the waterway. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
In the voting booth this fall, voters in states across the country will find ballot initiatives with titles like Taxpayers' Bill of Rights and SOS, Stop Overspending. The aim is to slash state spending, including deep cuts in health care, education, and other social services. But are these local initiatives really homegrown? A PBS program now with David Brancaccio, which is airing tonight, investigates how one wealthy New Yorker is secretly providing major funding for these and other ballot measures way outside his neighborhood in states across the country. One such state is Oregon. The program also takes a look at the questionable tactics used to put these issues on the ballot. Is someone manipulating your state's laws, your vote, and you? Starting today, the Now website at www.pbs.org/now will feature a state by that will allow you state to see the ballot tool, whose initiatives they'll be facing in November, and check how their states score on a campaign finance report card. This from Truth Out.
Billionaire Richard Branson, chairman of the Virgin Group, yesterday committed an estimated $3 billion over the next 10 years to combat global warming. Branson told a news conference at the Clinton Global Initiative in New York, "We have to wean ourselves off our dependence on coal and fossil fuels. Our generation has the knowledge, it has the financial resources, and, as importantly, it has the willpower to do so. Most international experts say emissions of greenhouse gases, mainly from burning fossil fuels in power plants, factories, and cars, are the primary cause of a 1.1-degree rise in temperature over the past century. A dwindling group of scientists say that the dominant cause of warming is a natural variant in the climate system or a gradual rise in the sun's energy output." Branson's announcement comes one day after the Bush administration said it was committing $3 billion to climate technology research and development. Climate experts and members of Congress criticized the administration's plan as long delayed and inadequate. Other sources speculate that funding climate technology research is another giveaway to corporations.
According to two conservative websites, White House political strategist Karl Rove has been promising GOP insiders that there will be an October surprise before the midterm elections. A few weeks ago, another conservative publication, The American Spectator, reported that White House staffers had been talking up the possibilities of an October surprise or two leading into the midterm elections. They say the president feels confident he can still play a role in the elections and that he intends to campaign hard for Republicans. Although there are a couple of issues that can be used as wedges along the way. Karl Rove is not saying what the October surprise will be. Asked if he would elaborate and give his thinking about the coming elections, Rove told Newsmax that his take largely parallels what Republican National Committee Chairman Ken Mellman said in a September 5th Newsmax story. As for the October surprise, Rove said, "I'd rather let the balance of the plans for the elections unroll on its own." This from Raw Story.
Four government auditors who monitor leases for oil and gas on federal property say the Interior Department suppressed their efforts to recover millions of dollars from companies they said were cheating the government. The accusations, many of them in four lawsuits that were unsealed last week by federal judges in Oklahoma, represent a rare rebellion by government investigators against their own agency. The auditors contend that they were blocked by their bosses from pursuing more than $30 million in fraudulent underpayments of royalties for oil produced in publicly owned waters in the Gulf of Mexico. The lawsuits have surfaced as Democrats and Republicans alike are questioning the Bush administration's willingness to challenge the oil and gas industry. The new accusations surfaced just 1 week after the Interior Department's Inspector General, Earl Devaney, told a House subcommittee that, short of crime, anything goes at the top level of the Interior Department. This from the New York Times.
President Bush's embattled anti-terrorism agenda got a boost yesterday when a wiretap bill was revised and Senate Republican leader said he was hopeful a deal was near on the treatment of detainees. Progress on the two critical issues before Congress recesses next week was seen as crucial to Republicans as they defended their majorities in the House and Senate. In the Senate, neither the White House nor the rebellious senators had the votes necessary to move forward on how to handle the nation's most dangerous terror suspects. However, the two sides remained at odds over how to adhere to the 1949 Geneva Conventions and simultaneously give the CIA wide leeway to conduct interrogations. Under the measure, the administration would be required to share more details of the nature of the threat with the House and Senate leaders and the chairman of both intelligence committees, who would then decide, without administration input, which lawmakers would receive the classified information.
In Utah, federal officials have banned off-road vehicles from a large swath of southern Utah's badlands to protect two rare species of cactus. The U.S. Bureau of Land Management outlawed off-roading in most of a 222-square-mile area of public lands near Factory Butte, a towering monolith that is one of the state's most distinctive geological formations. Riders can still travel on designated routes through the remote area. The move is meant to protect two species of cactus, the endangered right fishhook and the threatened winkler, that are indigenous only to this area. Environmentalists have complained that motorized vehicles were crushing and killing the delicate plants. Off-roaders who come by the thousands each year to traverse the area's lunar-like landscape complained about the ruling, but environmentalists welcomed the decision.
A ruling by a federal judge yesterday could make it easier for Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, I. Scooter Libby, to use classified documents in his trial in the CIA leak case. Libby's accused of lying to investigators about conversations he had regarding Valerie Plame's CIA employment. Now he wants to use a wide array of classified records as part of his defense at his trial early next year. Prosecutors have said Libby is trying to torpedo the case by demanding documents that are too sensitive to be released at trial. It's a tactic known as gray mail, and the goal is to get a case dismissed. Libby has obtained sensitive documents, including Cheney's intelligence briefings during the spring and summer of 2003. At the time, Plame's CIA status was leaked to the press after her husband accused the Bush administration of twisting pre-war intelligence to exaggerate the Iraqi threat. Libby's attorneys say the briefing memos will show that Libby had more pressing issues on his mind at the time and honestly didn't remember his conversations with reporters.
The Bush administration had to empty its secret prisons and transfer terror suspects to the military-run detention center at Guantanamo this month, in part because CIA interrogators had refused to carry out further interrogations and run the secret facilities. According to former CIA officials and people close to the program, the CIA interrogators' refusal was a factor in forcing the administration to act earlier than it might have wished. When Bush announced the suspension of the secret prisons program in a speech before the fifth anniversary of the September 11 terror attacks, some analysts thought he was trying to gain political momentum before the November midterm elections. But the former CIA official said Bush's hand was forced because interrogators had refused to continue their work until the legal situation was clarified, because they were concerned they could be prosecuted for using illegal techniques. One intelligence source also said the CIA had refused to keep the prison secret. Senior officials and Bush himself have come close to admitting this by saying CIA interrogators sought legal clarity, but no official has confirmed on the record how and when the secret program actually came to an end. This from the Financial Times.
The Census Bureau collects the most personal information about Americans, from how much money they earn and where they spend it, to how they live and die. It's all confidential, as long as no one steals it. 217 laptop computers, 46 portable data storage devices, and 15 handheld devices used by survey takers have been lost or stolen from the Census Bureau since 2003. Although the number of people affected isn't known, the Commerce Department reports that passwords, encryptions, and other safeguards were in place. Nothing so far indicates a misuse of any information. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez said yesterday in response to an internal review of Commerce Department computers that, quote, "The department takes very seriously these high instances of missing laptops as well as potential breaches of personal identity data. All of the equipment that was lost or stolen contained protections to prevent a breach of personal information. The amount of missing computers is high, but fortunately the vulnerability for data misuse is low," unquote.
A liberal church that has been threatened with the loss of its tax-exempt status over an anti-war sermon delivered just days before the 2004 presidential election said Thursday that it will fight an IRS order to turn over documents on the matter. Bob Long, senior warden of All Saints Church, told the Associated Press that we're going to put it in their court and in a court of law so that we can get an adjudication to a very fundamental issue here that we see as an intolerable infringement of rights. He said the church's 26-member vestry voted unanimously to resist IRS demands for documents and an interview with the congregation's rector by the end of the month. The church's action sets up a high-profile confrontation between the church and the IRS, which must now decide whether to ask for a hearing before a judge, who would then decide on the validity of the agency's demands. IRS spokesman Terry Lemons would not comment specifically on the dispute, but noted in a statement that the agency could take a church to court.
The United Nations chief anti-torture expert Manfred Nowak says torture in Iraq may be worse than it was under former leader Saddam Hussein. Nowak said the situation in Iraq was out of control, with abuses being committed by security forces, militia groups, and anti-U.S. insurgents. The Human Rights Office of the UN Assistance Mission in Iraq said in a report, bodies found in the Baghdad morgue often bear signs of severe torture. The wounds confirmed reports given by refugees from Iraq. Mr. Nowak told journalists at a briefing in Geneva that he had yet to visit Iraq, but he was able to base his information on autopsies and interviews with Iraqis in neighboring Jordan. A UN report says detainees' bodies often show signs of beating using electrical cables, wounds in heads and genitals, broken legs and hands, electric and cigarette burns. Bodies found at the Baghdad mortuary often bear signs of severe torture. The UN report says many bodies have been missing skin, broken bones, hands and legs, missing eyes, missing teeth, and wounds caused by power drills or nails. This from the BBC.
The UN says that indiscriminate killing of civilians by death squads, insurgents, and militias in Iraq has reached unprecedented levels. Almost 3,600 civilians were killed in July and just over 3,000 in August, says the UN's Assistance Mission for Iraq in a new report on human rights. The actual numbers are probably far higher. Torture is still a widespread problem in official detention centers. In ongoing violence, more than 20 people have been killed in attacks in the past 24 hours.
Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says that after the September 11th attacks, the United States threatened to bomb his country if it did not cooperate with America's war campaign against the Taliban in Afghanistan. Musharraf, in an interview with the CBS News magazine show 60 Minutes, said that the threat came from Assistant Secretary of State Richard Armitage and was given to Musharraf's intelligence director. The Pakistani leader said he reacted to the threat in a responsible way. Musharraf said some demands made by the United States were ludicrous, including one insisting he suppress domestic expression of support for terrorism against the United States. Musharraf said, quote, "If somebody's expressing views, we cannot curb the expression of those views," unquote. This according to Reuters.
Hugo Chavez is beginning a program of rewards for America's poor. The Venezuelan president was at a Harlem church yesterday making good on a pledge to help low-income families in New York purchase deeply discounted oil. When Venezuelan President Chavez called President Bush a devil during his speech at the UN General Assembly this week, it was not unusual vitriol. He has taunted President Bush before, sometimes even in English. "You are a donkey, Mr. Bush," he once said. Chavez is seen by some as the biggest problem to emerge in Latin America since his hero Fidel Castro seized power nearly half a century ago. and it all has to do with oil and Chavez's repeated threats to cut off the U.S. from Venezuela's oil supply. But Chavez does have another side to him. He continues to devise new schemes to use Venezuela's oil bonanza to benefit the needy around the world.
Christian mobs torched cars, looted Muslim-owned shops, and burned a prison in Indonesia, freeing hundreds of inmates in violence touched off yesterday by the execution of three Roman Catholics convicted of instigating attacks on Muslims. On the island of Flores, the executed men's birthplace, machete-wielding Christian mobs ran through the streets, sending women and children running in panic. Police and media reports said at least four people were hurt, including a prosecutor who was hospitalized with stab wounds. Vice President Yusuf Kala appealed for calm, saying the deaths of the three men had nothing to do with religion. He said, "It's a matter of law. If the people resent the law, we are doomed."
More than 100 protesters defined a ban on public gatherings and denounced the military overthrow of Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra in the first anti-coup rally since he was deposed 3 days ago. The new military rulers, meanwhile, appointed 9 people to investigate corruption under Thaksin and announced plans to write a new constitution to hold future leaders more accountable. "Don't call this reform, this is a coup," said one sign held by protesters who stood scattered in several groups to avoid the restriction banning public gatherings of more than 5 people. At one point, protesters staged a sit-in in groups of under 5 people. The Bangkok protest was held outside an upscale shopping center, Siam Paragon, which closed temporarily during the one-hour gathering. The protesters broke up afterwards, and there was no apparent police or military presence. Protest organizations said 7 people were detained, but the claim could not be immediately confirmed.
The High Court in the communist-ruled Indian state of Kerala has overturned a ban on the production and sale of Coca-Cola and Pepsi in that state. The bans were put in place after a New Delhi-based private research group alleged the soft drinks had high levels of pesticides. However, Kerala's top elected officials vowed to reimpose the order, and the state health minister said the government would challenge today's verdict in India's Supreme Court. The High Court upheld the argument by Coke and Pepsi that Kerala had no jurisdiction to impose a ban on the manufacture and sale of their products. Only the federal government can ban food products. The Kerala ban was the harshest across India, where 7 of the country's 28 states imposed partial or complete bans on Coke, Pepsi, Sprite, and other drinks from the companies after the Center for Science and Environment made the allegations on August 3rd. More than 10,000 schools have banned the beverages. And that was the KBOO Morning News for Friday, September 22nd, 2006. Thanks for listening. This morning's newscast was edited by Becca Bartelson and Chris Andre. Our engineer is also Becca Bartelson, and the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Martha Odom. This weekend, Portland area weather forecast is today partly sunny with patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny, highs around 70, lows around 45. Saturday, sunny, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 80, lows 45. And on Sunday, sunny, highs 80 to 85 with lows 40 to 50.
Coming up this morning on your all-natural, free-range community radio station, stay with us at 7:30. Annie and Melody host Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Their guest is Rob Los Ricos, anarcho-activist and recently released Oregon political prisoner. At 9, Marlena Smith hosts her electronic salon. She'll discuss politics and culture with Ed Goldberg. They'll also have an interview with controversial filmmaker John Cameron Mitchell. At 10:30, it's Boneheads and Bigots with Pat McGuire. And at 11, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
Help out your local community and become part of the KBOO AM news team. To learn how to edit, engineer, or anchor the news, please contact Katherine Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or email at amnews@kboo.org. You've been listening to KBOO, your non-corporate listener-supported radio station. We hit the airwaves at 90.7 FM Portland, 100.7 FM Corvallis, on translator K264AA, and at 91.9 FM Hood River on K220HR. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.